Let me lead us in prayer for the message today. God, thank you for each one that's here. You know, different needs that all of us have. We do pray, God, for Greenhouse Community Church, that you'd give us a time of peace, that you would strengthen us and encourage us by the Holy Spirit. Help this church, God, to continue to grow in numbers. Help new people here today to realize that they are an answer to our prayer. And God, do such great things in this church that we're amazed at the power of God. And God, may today's message be done with a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. On Friday, November 3rd, last year, Houston had a parade. And the parade was to celebrate the Houston Astros winning the World Series in baseball. It was the first World Series championship that the team had won in its 56 years of franchise history. It was estimated that between 750,000 to a million people went to the parade. And there was a time when the players got to speak, and one of the outfielders for the Astros said, "Houston, we don't have a problem. We have a championship." School was canceled by the Houston Independent School District on that Friday. Now, as a kid growing up, I would have absolutely loved to be off school because my team won the championship. But there was a parade. Today, I want to talk to you about a parade. But not the parade that the Houston Astros had because they won the World Series. I want to talk to you about a different parade. I want to talk to you about the parade celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to talk to you about Palm Sunday. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 21, Matthew chapter 21. And in today's message, we're going to read about a parade celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ on Palm Sunday. So this is found in Matthew chapter 21, and I've titled today's message, Three Facts About Palm Sunday. Three Facts About Palm Sunday. So as we go verse by verse through Matthew chapter 21, verse 1, all the way down to verse 11, I want to share with us three facts. Now, these three facts that we see in this passage of Scripture are applicational and relevant for every single person here today. So if you're here today as a teenager, don't zone out on me. Track with me, because today's message speaks specifically to you. In fact, if you'll apply this message in your life, it can give you direction and guidance for the years to come in your life in a day and age where there's so much chaos and so much confusion. If you'll apply it, God can give you a very clear direction for your life. So track with me as we work our way through this passage of Scripture. So what's fact number one? Fact number one, Jesus fulfills Scripture. Jesus fulfills Scripture. Look in your Bibles at Matthew 21, verse 1, all the way down to verse 5. Verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So what do we see in this passage of Scripture? Jesus fulfills Scripture. In other words, he's fulfilling, he's keeping the prophecy that was made about him back in the Old Testament, back in the book of Zechariah. So Jesus keeps Scripture. He fulfills Scripture. He keeps his word. But we know that in the day and age that we're living in, not everyone keeps their word. Think about it. Even from the Bible, remember Peter? In Matthew chapter 26, Peter said what? He said to Jesus, he said, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And what did Peter end up doing? He ended up denying knowing Jesus three different times. He didn't keep his word. Or think about different political leaders in the past. And I don't have enough time to go through all the promises some of our leaders have made throughout the years in politics. But remember President George H.W. Bush, what he said, read my lips, no new taxes. What happened? There were taxes, and they were raised. He didn't keep his word. Or when President Clinton looked the American people in the eye in the camera and said, he said something, and he didn't keep his word. So different times, leaders make promises, and they don't keep their promises. Think about even sports. And I remember when LeBron James left Ohio, where I was coming from, and there was devastation in Ohio, and he went down to Miami. And there was a press conference, and he said this, and I quote, he said in reference to championships that they were going to win, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven. And it was a reference to championships that they were going to win. Well, he didn't keep his word. The Miami Heat didn't win that many championships. He was giving the implication they were going to win at least eight NBA championships. That didn't happen. So what's the point? People make promises, they make statements, but they don't always keep their word. But Jesus keeps his word. Jesus fulfills Scripture. He keeps his word. In fact, the Bible says in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? In other words, when God makes a promise, when God says something in his word, he always, always, always keeps his promises. In fact, the Bible has over 31,000 verses. And did you know that out of the 31,000 verses, there are over 8,000 promises in the Bible, promises that relate to your life today? Maybe you're saying, you know what, Jeff? I'm really confused in my life. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of chaos in my life. I have no idea, no direction, what way to go. I want to encourage you, no matter your age, God wants to speak to you. The Bible says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. So maybe you're here today as a teenager. You're saying, there's so much confusion in my life. I don't know what direction to go. If you'll just ask God, he promises to give you guidance and direction in your life. Or maybe you're here today, you're saying, you know what, Jeff? I'm a single parent. I'm struggling so much financially. I have no idea how I'm going to make ends meet. I want to encourage you. There's a promise in the Word of God for you. When the Bible says in Philippians, the fourth chapter, and my God will meet what? All your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God promises to meet your needs. Or maybe you're saying, you know what, Jeff? I've struggled so much because of Hurricane Harvey. Maybe you're saying, you know what? I feel like I've lost so much in my life. And there's a deep devastation. Or maybe you're saying, you know what, Jeff? I didn't experience Hurricane Harvey myself. My home was fine, but I experienced an emotional Hurricane Harvey. A storm hit me in my life, physically or emotionally. And I'm having a hard time recovering in my life. And I feel like I'm so alone. I want to encourage you. There are promises in the Word of God that speak specifically to you as a Christian. When the Bible says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So maybe you feel like you got hit with that emotional Hurricane Harvey. You feel like, I don't know how to recover from it. I feel so alone. You may feel alone, but you're not alone. God has promised in his word never to leave you. So I want to encourage you today. No matter what you're going through in your life, problems at work, problems in your family, physical problems, financial difficulty, I want to encourage you, there are promises in God's word that apply specifically to you. And the great news is, God always keeps his word. Fact number one, Jesus fulfills scripture. Fact number two, Jesus gives assignments. Jesus gives assignments. Look in your Bibles again at Matthew 21. Let's go from verse 1 all the way down to verse 7. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. So what do we see in these seven verses? Jesus not only fulfills scripture, he keeps his word, but what does he do? He gives assignments to his disciples. They're to go to the village ahead of them. They're going to find a colt. They're going to find a donkey. And Jesus tells them to bring them back to him. He's giving them assignments. And all of us have assignments in our life. Think back to when you were in school. And there you are, you're sitting in your desk, hopefully paying attention to the teacher. You're sitting at your desk, and the teacher says, turn in your U.S. history textbook to chapter 21, read it, and complete the questions at the end. What is your teacher doing? They're giving you an assignment. And Jesus gives assignments in this passage of Scripture, but it's amazing to me that for every single Christian here today, he has assignments for you. Think about some of the assignments, even if you're here today as a teenager. Maybe you're thinking, well, I'll just start really doing this kind of stuff that the Bible talks about when I'm an adult. But he's got assignments for you even as a teenager, Even for the children here this morning, he's got assignments. He's got assignments for all of us. Think of one of the assignments that Jesus gives in his word. It's true for every person here today. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Come, follow me. So here's the question. Just think about this. Right now, only you can answer this for yourself. Right now, are you following Jesus in your life? Or would you say, you know what, Jeff? I'm actually not really following Jesus. I'm really following the ways of the world. And I want to encourage us, if that's us, let's make that decision to repent, to confess it, and to follow Jesus. But he has an assignment for you. No matter if you're a child, a teenager, a young adult, no matter your age, Jesus has given you an assignment. He wants you to follow him. Not the ways of the world. He wants you to follow him. Or how about in Mark's gospel? We're going to be there in 2019. But in 2019, we're going to look at Mark's gospel and what Jesus says in Mark's gospel in chapter 16. He says what? Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. So that's an assignment that God has given you. And maybe you're here today as a teenager saying, well, I don't know what to say. I want to encourage you, stay with me in the years to come because we're going to train you in how to share the good news of Jesus. And I want to encourage you each week, use your Route 66 invite card and invite someone here. Where you know that each week we teach the Bible and we give people an opportunity to call on Jesus for salvation. And in this week's bulletin, Loretta's done a great job of filling out a one-page insert for you to invite people next week to our Easter service. So I want to encourage you, that's an assignment that God's given you. You know people that don't attend any church, and you can invite them here. In fact, statistics say that 82% of people will come to church if they're invited. 82% of people will come to church if they're invited. So that means if you invite 10 people, 8.2 people will show up here. So I want to encourage you. Some of you got that. But I want to encourage you. That's an assignment that you have, to be inviting, where each week we teach the Bible and we give people an opportunity to call on Jesus for salvation. So fact number one, Jesus fulfills Scripture. Fact number two, Jesus gives assignments. And then finally, fact number three, Jesus deserves praise. Jesus deserves praise. Look in your Bibles at verse 8 all the way down to verse 11. Verse 8, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? The crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. So what's happening in these verses? Jesus is getting the praise that he desires and deserves in this passage of Scripture. Jesus deserves praise. Now, once upon a time, there was a pastor in Texas. This pastor was driving his car, but there was a problem. His car broke down, and he started walking. And he saw this ranch in the distance. He got to the ranch. He talked to the owner of the ranch and said, My car broke down, but I have some visitation that I need to take care of. Can I borrow one of your horses?" The rancher said, "Of course. But one thing you need to know about this horse is that this horse is a Christian horse. This horse is different than any other. This horse is a Christian horse, and he doesn't normally respond to the commands that other horses do. In fact, this is a Christian horse. You need to use Christian words. So instead of giddy up, you need to say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That'll get the horse going. And to stop the horse, you need to say amen. Praise the Lord. That starts the horse running. Amen. That stops the horse." Well, the pastor got on the horse and he was really excited. He had some visitation, some people he needed to go to visit. So he said, "Giddy up, let's get going." The horse didn't do a thing. Then he remembered, "That's right, this is a Christian horse. I need to say, praise the Lord." He said, "Praise the Lord," and off starts the horse. The horse is running. Then all of a sudden, the horse sees this rattlesnake, and the horse is now going faster and faster and faster and faster. And the pastor tries to yell, "Stop, please stop, stop, stop." The horse just keeps going faster and faster. They're coming near the edge of a cliff. The pastor remembers to say, "Amen." And immediately, right at the edge of the cliff, the horse stopped, and the pastor is just so relieved. He takes his hand, wipes the sweat off of his brow, and then he shouts out, "Praise the Lord." Jesus deserves praise, and we see that in this passage of Scripture. And let me flesh it out in the Christian life. When I was a kid growing up, I loved the Los Angeles Dodgers. And one of their star players was a Christian. He was a pitcher by the name of Oral Hershiser. And in 1988, he pitched 59 innings without allowing a run. And it was incredible. He was invited to the Johnny Carson Tonight Show. And on the Tonight Show, Johnny Carson said to Oral Hershiser, "You know, I noticed that during the World Series, in between innings, you were singing something in the dugout. What were you singing? We'd like to hear." He said, no, I really don't want to sing it for you." And the crowd was saying, "Yeah, we'd love to hear you sing it." So right then and there, on the Johnny Carson Tonight Show, Oral Hershiser started singing the doxology, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." And that's so right. It's so scriptural. Think about what James, the half-brother of Jesus, says. He says this, and this is so important because, again, maybe you're saying, "You know what, Jeff? I feel like in my life I've been hit with the Hurricane Harvey emotionally or financially or physically or relationally. And you find it so hard to praise God." You think to yourself, "Well, I know I should be praising God. I know it's biblical. I know it's in this passage. I'll praise God when my life gets better, when it returns to normal. I'll praise God because right now I don't feel like there are things in my life that I can really praise God about." But you know what James says? I believe he directly deals with that temptation in our life, even as Christians, those times where we don't even feel like praising God. You know what he says? "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Our emotions can change. They can fluctuate. God never changes. He always keeps his word. But you know what the scripture says? Every good and perfect gift is from above. So that means even in the midst when the hurricane of Harveys of your life hit. They hit us emotionally and we feel devastated. They hit us physically and maybe we're in excruciating physical pain, or someone we know is. Or maybe the hurricane Harveys of life hit us financially and we think to ourselves, I have no idea what to praise God for. I'm simply trying to survive in my life right now. And yet, what does the scripture say? Every good and perfect gift is from above. Have you ever come to that place in your life, even in the midst of the hurricane Harveys of life, where you've said, praise God for my food. Praise you, Jesus, that I have clothes to wear. Praise God for my house. Praise God for my job. Praise God for this and that in my life. The Bible says that when we fail to do that, we're deceived. And it's so easy to think to ourselves, well, the food I have, the clothing I have, this that I have, it's because of hard work. It's because of coincidence. That's not what the Bible says. Every good and perfect gift is from above. So the very fact that you're here today is a gift from God. The very fact that you have clothes to wear, that's a gift from God. The very fact that you have food to eat, that's a gift from God. The very fact that you have shelter, that's a gift from God. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Now, I'm speaking out of personal experience. That as your pastor, I wish I could say, I'm just nailing it in what I'm talking about. No, I'm not. There's so much room for progress in my own life, especially on this area of praising God, because in my life, it's so easy to just go through my grocery list of prayer requests. And at times, I don't even praise God for who He is and all the great things He's done in my life. Every good and perfect gift is from above. So here's my challenge to myself, my challenge to us as a congregation. What would happen this week in our prayer life? Or just the day to day, if we would just start off and say, praise you, Jesus, that I have food to eat today. There are people in the world that don't have that. Praise you, Jesus, that I have clothes to wear. Praise you, Jesus, that I have a roof over my head. I want to ask you something. How is your praise life? How is your praise life? Oftentimes in the Christian life, we talk about our prayer life. That's important. That's critical. But I want to ask you a different question. Not how's your prayer life today. How's your praise life today? Are you so focused on the current circumstances and problems, speaking to myself, that we're failing to praise God for who He is, what He's done for us in the past, what He's doing, what He's going to do? It's easy to fall into that temptation, but never forget, every good and perfect gift is from above. Let's praise God for the good gifts that He's given us. It's not your education that's done it. It's not coincidental. It's not accidental. It truly is from God. If we fail to recognize that, we're being deceived. So I titled today's message, Three Facts About Palm Sunday. Fact number one, Jesus fulfills Scripture. It means He keeps His word. Fact number two, Jesus gives assignments. And fact number three, Jesus deserves praise. Now, right now, the men's NCAA basketball Division I tournament is taking place. As your pastor, I'm not going to tell you the team that I'm going for, but I will say this. All committed Christians are going for Kansas. So if you're not going for Kansas, you may need to repent. But recently, like 2 weeks ago, there was this unbelievable upset. In fact, some are calling it the greatest upset and victory in sports history. There was a college program. They were a number 16 seed. The University of Maryland Baltimore County. I'd never even heard of this school before. They defeated a number one seed, the University of Virginia. I've heard of them. I've actually been there before. Some are saying it was the biggest upset in sports history, and it was an incredible upset and victory. But it doesn't compare to the upset and the victory of when Jesus Christ conquered the grave, and he's alive. And the Bible makes an open invitation to the entire world that regardless of age, regardless of skin color, regardless of what we've done in our past, the Bible says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you ever come to that place in your life where you've admitted that you're a sinner? You believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Only his shed blood can wash away your sins. You've called on Jesus for salvation, and you've decided to follow Jesus no matter what the cost. Maybe you're saying, you know what, Jeff, I've never called on Jesus for salvation before, but I want to today. I'm going to give you an opportunity. So with all eyes closed and heads bowed, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you forward, but you're saying, Jeff, I've never called on Jesus for salvation before, but today I want to make that decision. If that's you, I won't embarrass you, but would you slip up your hand? Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word, so relevant, so applicational to our lives. We can't live this out on our own. We need the strength of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to do so. It is all in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. With all eyes open, I want to encourage you. God's plan for your life is that you grow as a Christian. That's why we have a clear discipleship plan that is illustrated by the baseball diamond. First base is to love God through worship service. That's where you're at right now. Second base, we want to love people through small groups. We have a listing in the bulletin. And I want to encourage you. Great opportunity for that is to come to the community meal right after the service next weekend on Easter Sunday. We'd love to see you for that community meal. Third base, we want to serve the world through ministry teams. There are opportunities to serve here. And then home plate, that's evangelism. We have a great opportunity every week by using your invite cards and the 1 week or one-page sheet that has been placed in your bulletin. Invite someone for next weekend's service. Will you stand with me as we sing our final worship song to the Lord?